3 Nephi chapter 18. In the first few verses, he has bread brought to him, and then he breaks it and feeds the multitude. And then he instructs them to continue to do the same. And he says in verse 7 that that they do this, that they might always remember him, remember his body, remember that he is real. You see, this isn't just that we remember he had a body, it's remembering that he is real, and that that he is part of our lives, and that he does exist. And it says that if you will remember him, then you will have his spirit to be with you. Again, we have to ask ourselves, do we have his spirit to be with us? Do we take it literal when we're taking the sacrament? Do we feel that we have his spirit with us then? And the key word there is always. So when we take the sacrament, do we reflect over the week and say, was there any time in this week that I was not remembering him, that I did not have his spirit to be with me? And what do I have to do to overcome that? And again, obviously, to have his spirit with him, with you all the time, you must follow the spirit. And it's by keeping in tune with that spirit that that it is always with us. And that is done by always remembering him. And when we remember him in a business meeting, we think, is this what the Lord wants me to do at this business meeting? When we're going to play sports, is this what the Lord wants me doing? We're always remembering him, saying, is this what he wants me to be doing? Meaning, would he come with me to this? Is he with me when I'm there? And where then do I have to go, or what do I need to be doing to have him with me? And again, by having this little key here, that are you remembering him? And you'll see that clearly as you go in your life and you say, yes, I always want to be doing what the Lord wants. I always want him to be with me. Then that will be your guide. And again, you'll see that the Spirit will guide your entire life, give you your entire personal plan of salvation, show you what path to be on. But the problem is that we continue to divert. We say, no, the Lord doesn't belong in my business. No, I would not give up my career. We can feel that, no, this going to work every day is opposed to the Spirit. Not that it's going to the work, but it's going to a certain job or a certain place is opposed to my Spirit. And so I can't remember Christ there. I can't have his spirit with me there. See, that's a direction. And so when we go to take the sacrament, we have to ask ourselves, are we continuing on in that direction? And he says more fully, when you take the wine, you're signifying that you will do all that he has commanded. One of his major commandments is, again, to have his spirit with you. To listen to the Spirit and follow it, and that's again it repeats there in verse 11 that then the Spirit will continue to be with you. It's hard, and if you haven't got the Spirit with you, then all I can do is say the reason is you're not going to places and governing your life in such a manner that you follow the Spirit, that you go where the Spirit will. And you can feel that. You can feel the places and you can feel the times where there is no Spirit, and then if it's your job, but you need the job, then you have to pray to the Lord and ask him, I need to work, resolve this. I have to do what is important. But is your number one criteria having the Spirit to be with you and doing what it says? Because it might take you out of a crummy job and give you even a worse one. But again, for some reason, that worse one will build up the things that will allow you to continue in the Spirit. And then he says that this is his rock. But what was his rock? His rock is him, but he's telling you to magnify and study the commitment of the sacrament, and then you'll be on his rock. Do we study it and magnify it at our sacrament meetings? Do we get into that sacrament? Can we spend the whole meeting then just discussing the sacrament? No, we don't. Because why? Because we don't understand what it's saying. It's saying to follow him. Having your focus on him, having your focus on having his spirit to be with you. What is it I've done this week? Give me the talk about the experiences that week on when the spirit wasn't there, was there, and what you needed to do to be remembering him all the time, and why it was difficult. Which you begin to see that is repentance, isn't it? It's not only repentance, it's a discussion of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, all of a sudden now you see that's all they talked about in the churches that were truly the churches of Jesus Christ. That's all they would talk about. That's why there were unity. because they were reunited no matter where they were in their resolve to figure out how to continue in the Spirit of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Again, the home teaching, and did you keep a journal? Did you do your missionary work? These are the more that are talked about in verse 13. It says anything more than this is not my rock, and it's built on a sandy foundation. And why? What is it? Because it diverts you from Him. It gives you a false sense of security that these are the things that are going to get you into heaven. These are the things that are going to make you right. Those things don't make you right. They don't build your character. Unless the Spirit says, yes, it's good for you to be working on this journal, so it must be doing something for me. But I'll feel the Spirit in that. The Spirit will direct me to those things that will build and strengthen my character. But when we just do them because that's what the church leaders have said, and because that we think those are the things that save us, they become a distortion. And they have little pieces of the gospel in it, but it breaks up the rock. What is your rock? Your rock is the Lord and following His Spirit. That is where your eye is concentrating. You're always remembering Him, always. And you're always continuing in His Spirit. Then that is the rock. Anything else diverts that and breaks up the rock, so you haven't got your eye single to that and you're not firm on that. And so, again, you have the little pieces of the gospel and little pieces of feeling good, but again, when the devil comes and hits you, it'll be sandy. Because you'll look and say, well, now that the devil is attacking me, how does my journal help me? Should I go do some more missionary work now? Well, that's all. And see, you're confused. You don't know how to overcome the devil then. And how do you overcome the devil? You look to the Lord. You ask for His protection. You ask for Him what He wants you to do. And then you follow Him and you continue in the Spirit. So then it says in verse 15, it says, watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye be led away captive to him. You see, this is why. Anything will divert you. You have to be praying continually. You must have your eyes single and your whole essence of all your life focused on the Savior, doing what He wants. And I testify to all of you that if you think that this is boring or that this does not work or this is too hard or what a drag life will be, you do not know the Savior. The Savior will not only lead you to things that are pleasurable and enjoying, entertaining, but they will be truly satisfying when they're that way. And He will not only that, He will provide you the means that you otherwise, by following the devil, you haven't had the means to purchase those things that may be pleasurable, or even have the time or the opportunity to enjoy them. But as you do those things, you will do them with the Savior. You won't do them in excluding, the Savior will be with you. And He is a being that enjoys things also. He enjoys being with you and companionship with you and your friends also. And then to make this clear, though, it repeats then in verse 18. To pray always, lest you be tempted. Continue in prayer. Have your heart and your mind out to the Lord. Think of your Heavenly Father. What does your Heavenly Father want you to do? Pray to the Heavenly Father. What do you want me to do? And what does He want you to do? He wants you to follow the Savior. And He will send the Savior, and He'll send His Spirit to direct you and tell you what to be doing, so that you might have the Lord with you all the time and feel the Spirit of Christ, which when you feel the Spirit of Christ, you'll feel the Spirit and the love of the Father. And this is what you're to do always. And if you don't, it's the obvious don't, that you are going to be led astray. Your mind has to be poured out to Him all the time. And it continues on then in verses 19 to 23 to pray always. In groups pray. And then let others join you. Have anyone that will come to you to join you in your prayer. But when you go to sacrament meeting, your church meetings, are you praying there? Are you just being taught things and being bored? Or are you there to pray and work with each other to bring that Spirit in and fill the Lord? and have his spirit come down and descend on you. And even as they did here, have angels come down and descend on you in that meeting, because you're all drawn out to him. Is the purpose of your sacrament meeting to all focus on Jesus Christ, focus on your Heavenly Father, such that everyone, so that no matter what anyone is speaking or praying, it is honestly helping you focus on the Lord, not on the speaker, not on the prayer, not on the meeting, not on having, therefore, because you went to a meeting, you filled another block. These things are diversions. If you are drawn out in prayer at your meetings at all times and have those feelings, you're focused on him and the people who are there with you, they will, if they are wicked, they will feel that same thing, and it will draw them to what? To the Lord. And if they're to the Lord, they will not be a thorn to you anymore. But it also says, do not allow the unworthy to take the sacrament, even though you allow them to pray with you. You are to keep them in prayer with you. Do not allow them to take the sacrament, because it defiles the importance of the sacrament. Again, do we believe the sacrament to be important? Yes, it is the time and the second of that week or that period of time when we are focusing on the Lord. Are we truly focusing him, and are we reviewing ourselves to ensure, and are we making a covenant that, yes, I have been with him all this week. I have remembered him all this week. I will continue to remember him. And I will strive with all my heart to figure out how to continue and remember him at all times and have his spirit to be with me all the time. And then it says, those who do not, are not worthy to take the sacrament, though you still continue with them in prayer, you continue with them in your meeting so that they might feel the spirit and have a desire to have that spirit to be with them. Then they have faith that, yes, it's the Lord that they desire. And so, therefore, then they want to repent. Because why? Because they want to clean themselves up so that they can be with the Savior. They can feel his love. They've had a little bit of a feel of having prayed with you and been with you. They want to have that. So they want to clean up the act. Then they want to be baptized so they continue on with the Lord. The problem is our baptisms don't have that meaning anymore. They don't have that strong meaning that now I'm actually making a covenant to follow the Savior, be with him, and have his spirit be with me all the time. Because we don't take it serious. But if we took it serious, then those that came with us would. And if they would overpower our meeting or spoil our meeting, then the Lord would take care of that. Because why? We would be focused on the Lord, and the Lord would be focused on wanting to bring his spirit to us and not be focused on someone else that was there. And it says to pray for them. Those who are not worthy, pray for them. Pray for them right there in that meeting. It's not a thing where we're embarrassed. If they're there to fill the Spirit of the Lord, that's fine. And we're to ask them to be with us. Be with us in praising the Lord and in focusing on the Lord. If that is not their purpose, and that is our purpose there, then they won't come anymore. But the point is while they're there, that will not be a distraction to us, because our focus is on the Lord, not on them. And he says this, and he says, therefore, he wants to throw away any of these. This, in verse 34, to do away with the disputing you've had over this, meaning that the people have been desirous to cast those people out. And they're saying, don't cast them out. If you're in full faith of the Lord will take care of the situation, and you bring them to you. Because you're so single in the Lord, you're not single or worried about them. You're single in the Lord. If you're all together in the Lord, the manifestation of the power of the Spirit will be nothing but a good influence on them. But it is as that today, where our sacrament meetings, our meetings in the Lord, are boring. They do not focus on the Lord. They do not bring the full power of the Spirit in, although they might be a spirit here and there. But more and more, the Spirit is being replaced by the devil's imitation called sentimentality. We're replacing it with little sentimental stories that arouse our emotions, arouse our feelings, but do not build our spirit. And then finally he finishes having told them this and tried to make that clear. This chapter finishes by with the Lord giving the power to confer the Holy Ghost on others. He gave that power to the 12. Again, what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is a thing that opens the conduit to allow the Spirit of the Lord to descend upon you. He is the comforter. He is the one that that can help you at times when you are overcoming your sins, when you are desirous to be repentant, but you have these sins. The Lord cannot dwell with you during these times of sin that you have allowed the devil to be with you, but the Holy Ghost can, and He can comfort you and be an aid to you as you overcome those sins, so that then you can more fully have the Spirit to be with you all the time. And also, because we live in this world, He becomes, as I said, the conduit for the Spirit of the Lord to be there. So therefore, again, the power of the Holy Ghost is conferred upon those to be a comfort and an aid to them in their repentant process. The Holy Ghost has other purposes we've seen, to give utterance and so forth. This is not the portion of the conferring of the Holy Ghost. This is that those things come to anyone who is serving the Lord.